My name is Heath, and I'm the pastor here at the church. And yes, I'm somewhat new, but that's wearing off really quickly for some of you, so I'll stop saying I'm new. But my family and I have been here since August, and this is our first Christmas in Slave Lake, even though we've driven all over the place and up to St. Albert to see family, and then went over to Valley View yesterday, and my family is still there. I came home last night late and figured the roads would be great, and then it rained in High Prairie, so that was lots of fun. So it took me 3 hours to get home from Valley View and rolled in around one. So I'm not liable for anything that comes out of my mouth today. But anyways, it's good to have you here, and I just wanted to give you a quick update. I got a message this morning from Joe and Kathy. As you know, Pastor Joe does lots of preaching and teaching for us. Joe had an issue with his leg, and he's kind of wrecked his knee, but he's okay now. And then they went out to BC, and they were visiting Kathy's sister, and she passed away over Christmas while they were there. And then Joe said he had an issue under his tongue. I'm not sure what it was per se, but it kind of burst, and then he couldn't eat or drink for 3 or 4 days. So just think of them over the holidays and pray for them as a family. They said, if you're through Smith and you got nothing to do, feel free to stop in and say hi. So he wanted me to pass that on to you guys as well this morning. But I trust everybody's had a good Christmas. The parties are almost done, except for the New Year's parties, whatever that looks like for you or not for you. Maybe the family's all gone home. Maybe you're wishing they've gone home. Don't look at them. We got lots to look forward to with the New Year's. It's the year 2020. I started thinking about it. I don't know why it came to mind this week, but do you remember Y2K and all the craziness? And I was thought it was kind of humorous because our great concern in Y2K was that our VCR and DVD player wouldn't work. How many of you still even have one even plugged in, right? We don't even use them. Y2K, 20 years goes pretty quick. But anyways, as we enter 2020, I want us to take a little look going forward. And this is not about resolutions because I'm not really a big fan of them. I find they don't last. And what we're going to talk about today is something that I think needs to last in our lives as well as our church. And so I want us to consider some things as we move into the year 2020. This morning's message is kind of a standalone. We are going to get back to Ephesians starting next Sunday. And so next Sunday, we will be getting into part of Ephesians on marriage. And we're going to probably do about 4 weeks or almost 5 weeks in there. We're going to kind of slow down through chapter 5. And so we're going to be basically doing kind of a series within a series. But we're going to get back into Ephesians that we've been working on since September. And so if you're ready for marriage, I'm sure Christmas has prepped you for that. Having family around and being at home all the time, moms and dads, so we'll spend some time talking about that. And so this morning, I want us to consider some things. And I want us to consider some areas of our life, especially in relation to God's church. And as I was thinking about that phrase, what does it mean to consider this? You know, we use that phrase quite regularly, and I looked it up this week, and the phrase to consider this means it's a definition of thinking about something carefully before you make a decision. So you get faced with things every day and someone will tell you something and then they would ask you to consider this. And so as we're going into 2020, I'm sure many of you will have many opportunities to consider some things for the next year. Whether it's your life or your family or your children or your career or opportunities, we all have many decisions to make. We get presented with information, we get presented with ideas, we get presented with all of these things that the world has asked us to consider when we make decisions. But I find it's getting harder to make decisions, and you say, well, why is that? And I think part of it is I was listening to a podcast recently, and they were saying that in the year 2013, it goes a couple years back, all of the information that basically was available in 2013 through the internet and everything, through the whole year, there was more information generated than all of human history. That's how fast it's coming at us. That's how quick information is coming, and you see it every single day. And so when I ask you to consider certain things, I think this is where we get stuck, because there's endless opportunities, endless questions, endless answers. And as I was thinking about it, I'm not sure how they measure all of that year of 2013, but as I was thinking about it, I do feel that. I feel that when we get presented with ideas or we get presented with things, there is so much information that it can actually be very overwhelming. How many of us have decisions in our life today that you've considered everything and you still haven't made a decision? Because the whole consider this now has 15 scenarios instead of two. Right? They talk about that with children when you go to the grocery store. For many of us, when we went to the grocery store, there was really only about four kinds of cereal. Right? Just pick one of the four. Now there's 25, and you wonder why your child stands there and cannot make up their mind. Right? We live in that world where it's getting so extreme that we're having a hard time making things. So when somebody says to you, I need you to consider this situation, for many of us, I think it begins to handcuff us. We're not sure how to decide. We're not sure which way to go. And what happens, especially at Christmas, is then we have lots of family around and lots of friends, and everybody keeps adding to the pile. Right? We've all had these discussions over turkey through the holidays. Decisions that need to be made, and everybody's going to weigh in. Everybody's got something to say. And then we find ourselves stuck, unable to make decisions. And I think what happens for people is we can get into a bit of this crazy cycle. I'll kind of call it the consider cycle. Consider this, consider this. And I find there's so much to consider in life sometimes that we will either make a rash decision or we just make no decisions at all. And so this morning, I want to add one more thing to it. You're like, you just told me all the things I haven't decided. Yes, I want you to consider one more thing this morning. I want to add one more thing to the confusion, but here where this is going to be different. I'm not the one who's going to be asking you to consider something. God is going to be asking you to consider something today. Our God and King is going to say to all of us, I want you to consider this. And when our God says to us, you need to consider this, I think we really need to consider it, not just add a list to it. And so I read another definition of what consider this would mean, and this one I preferred, and this is the one we're going to work from. It said to consider something means we think about it and are drawn towards a course of action. And so God is going to ask us to consider something. And his point for doing this is so that we take action. We take a step. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at an Old Testament book. It's a really small one that can be really hard to find. It's called the Book of Haggai. And you're like, never even heard of it, right? Maybe you don't know it. Some of you are like, Haggai's a small book. So it's going to be up on the screen. We're going to work our way through it. I was reading through Haggai a while ago, and there's parts in there that I found really interesting and kind of intriguing. There's really only two chapters, and so we're basically just going to do chapter one, and so we're going to read a bit and then talk a bit, and that's what we'll do this morning. So let's just start reading together in verse one. It'll be up on the screen. And there's lots of hard names in here, and just be thankful you don't have to say them out loud. Okay. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, to the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. So let me just give you a little bit of quick history to see what's going on. We have a guy by the name of Haggai who we know is a prophet, and one of the things the prophet did is they would bring the word of the Lord to the people. Right? He's a preacher, he speaks and teaches the word of God, and then people would hear it, and then people could really choose, like all of us. We can choose to respond to it, or we can choose not to respond to it. And so the prophet Haggai is going to come and talk to them, and he wants them to prayerfully consider something. And so as we walk through this, I want you to consider what God is going to ask us to do, to consider carefully what the Lord is saying here. And so I'm not Haggai, but in some ways I'm doing the same thing. I'm going to be the preacher. I'm bringing the word of God to you. And then you have to consider whether this is something you want to do. You have to consider whether this is a step that you want to take. And so we are kind of around 520 BC. The children of Israel spent many, many years in slavery and now in exile. And so the children of Israel are set free. They've returned kind of to their homeland, and which is the promised land, if you will. And part of returning to that land that God gave to them is they were supposed to rebuild everything that was destroyed. And one of the things that had been destroyed was the temple. And so they were supposed to rebuild the temple, the place of worship, the place where God dwells. That's how it was viewed in the Old Testament. And so we see that Haggai is about to show up. The temple is supposed to be rebuilt, except we run into a problem. The problem is it's been 20 years since the people have been let back into the land. It's been 20 years. They started the foundation of the temple, and now it's been left unfinished for 20 years. It's been sitting idle for 20 years. The weeds are growing up around it. It's unfinished. No one has put any time into it. Nobody's put any energy. Nobody's put it into any money. It's just laying there incomplete. And now as we sometimes read Scripture, we got to remember that the Old Testament often points towards the New Testament. And so Haggai himself is talking about building the temple, but we need to remember into the New Testament, we see that the church is birthed and born out of that because of what Christ has done. God's overriding purpose is the building of his church. And so as we read this, we need to also look forward to what Christ has accomplished. And so as the temple has been ignored in the Old Testament we're reading here, we need to look forward and ask the question for ourselves is, has the church been ignored? Has Slave Lake Alliance been ignored? Are we sitting idle? Are we kind of lukewarm? Are we putting time, are we putting money, are we putting energy into the church? Right, so I want you to keep that question in mind as we keep reading. Let's go into verse 2, to verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled homes while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So these people are supposed to be rebuilding the temple. And do you understand what just went on? They're like, well, it's not really time yet because we're kind of busy. So the word of the Lord is you need to rebuild the temple, the church, the place of worship where my glory shines. And their response as a people is, not right now, I got other things I got to do. The people say it's not the right time. I have my own things that I need to work on. And obviously as we read here, the Lord is not happy with this response. He almost begins to rebuke them and says, if you pick it up in here, he said, you actually have time to panel your own house. You see, what was happening is the people were more concerned about their home renovations than they were about the renovation of a church. They were more concerned about what was going on at their house than they were concerned about the temple being built. The people were more preoccupied with their own lives than they were with the place of God's worship. I know there's this huge craze towards home renovations. You know, HGTV, you know, you like to watch it, I like to watch it. You know, some of you like the Chip and Joanna Gaines, you know, you like the style and all of the designs and these building shows, and right, you ladies watch it and then you go to your husband, you're like, we should get one of those, right? You know, and we should do that mass reno, and which turns into thousands and thousands of dollars, and we need wainscoting and panels. The Bible says here that they actually had paneled houses, so you have verses, ladies, if you want to go home and tell your husband there's paneled homes, right? But and then most men respond, well, if you're going to get your room, I need my room. It's called a man cave with a big TV and one chair because I'm going there alone, right? And so we just sit by ourselves, and this is what happens in the world of home renovations. And what we see here is that the people of God were more concerned about their own houses, their own decor, than they were about the place of worship. Their houses had multiple renovations. They probably had a really nice lawn, a new fence, a big deck, hardwood floor, and God says to them, what about the place of worship? What about the temple? What about my home? And they say, well, it's not really time. I got other things I got to do. We still have to paint the baby room. We still need to put on the baseboards. If there's any project that sits for 20 years undone, it's the baseboards, right? Anybody have some in your home? Look at that, a few of you put your hands up. That's good, you're honest. Mass confession is good for the soul. Anyways, but as Christians, we are called to build the church. We're supposed to be taking care of the church physically. Yes, you guys have done an amazing job with this building, taking care of it. But that's not all we're supposed to be taking care of. Are we investing and building in the kingdom of God? Are we a church that's going to continually move forward in the year 2020? Are we a church that's going to invest in the lives of new people? Are we going to disciple future generations of teenagers, future generations of children? You see, as Christians, we're supposed to keep moving forward of this. And what is interesting is the people of Israel here had become lukewarm. They became preoccupied with their own things. And maybe that's a question that some of us need to consider even this morning. Am I lukewarm in my faith because maybe I'm just preoccupied with a lot of other things? Maybe I'm preoccupied with my home or the cleaning or the renovations or the TV or my children, my time, my money, my energy, my job. Like, we spend a lot of time working on our home, right? Not just reno, but taking care of it, building on it, family, friends. We've done it all through Christmas. We've decorated it all. And what sadly I think happens for a lot of us, really what we see here, is then when that's done, I have nothing left for the place of worship. I have no time left for the church. I have no energy. I have no money. Let me ask you this question. How did the Christmas spending go? Are you a little poorer than you were a few months ago? Is it a crime to buy or think things for children and family? Not at all. It's a good thing. And while our home is beautiful and those things are great, we have to always ask the question of what's going on in the church. How's the spiritual work in this church? Do we need a spiritual renovation? I think one of the reasons why I think I felt led to the book of Ephesians is for us to continue to grow in that. To continue to grow in our own walk with Jesus Christ, to continue to grow in different areas. But the reality is, people, is we need to be building God's kingdom here as well in this community. And maybe the reason why some of us struggle with being lukewarm in our faith is because maybe the focus of our time and energy and money is on the wrong house. And so, like he said there, some of us need to consider this. Let's keep reading, starting. I'm going to read verses 5 to 6. I kind of read 5 a bit already. But anyways, "Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes." And what God is saying to all of us and the people here is, consider this. Consider how you use your time. Consider how you use your energy. Consider how you use your money. Because he said, at the end of the day, it's never going to be enough. You will never be happy. You'll never have the perfect home, the perfect car, the perfect job. You'll never have enough time. You'll never have enough money, energy, resources. And he said, it's like putting it all in a bag with holes. And if you've been with us for the last 2 weeks, we've really been talking about that going through Advent. The love, the joy, the peace, the hope, right? We talked about it's almost like filling up a balloon with hope and love, and eventually it's always getting the air let out of it, and it's always deflating, and how we're always trying to refill it. This is the same idea. No matter what we put it in, it's going to constantly have a hole and keep falling out of the bottom. The people here are taking care of themselves first and their God second. And I think that's something that especially happens to us when we become lukewarm in our faith. When we become lukewarm in our faith, we tend to take care of number one first, and that's us. But yet we're still broke. We're still struggling life. Marriage is still not going well. There's parts of your life that are unfulfilled. We're still searching for that meaning. There's still no peace. We're anxious all the time. We feel stressed. And so consider this. Do I take care of myself first? Look at the budget. What does your family budget say? What would your spouse say if you were to ask them? And that's a very dangerous question, but pick a good time to ask the question. What would your children say about you? What do they see you putting first? What do my children see me putting first? And I think what happens is we're not really any different than the Israelites here in some ways, that we're really busy doing things with life, and they're good things. They're not necessarily bad. And we need jobs and careers and families, and those are all good things. The question is what is primary? I think what happens for a lot of us is when we kind of think in our mind, okay, when I'm not busy or when I have extra money or I have extra energy, then I will give that to the church, then I will serve God in that way. And God keeps saying, if you do that, it leads to nothing, right? It's like a bag with holes in it. It's going to keep just draining out from you. Which means we never actually get around to serving the church or helping in the building or investing in the lives of people. And so here's a question, even as we go into the year 2020, where does the church fit into your 2020 plans? Is it on a list of things to do, if you will? Is it primary? Is it secondary? Is it even a thought? Because you see, Haggai here really had a huge task. He was called by God to go to these people to rekindle a vision in the minds and the hearts of the people going forward. And the reality, and this is kind of how I feel going into 20, I have much of the same task, to rekindle a vision for all of us. Where is God leading this church into the future? A vision for a growing and a great church, a vision for a church that reaches the lost, a vision of being a church for the unchurched, a place to engage and equip people, excite people, if you will. But the truth is, people, that will never happen if we all just do our own thing. If we just focus on our own hobbies, our own sports, our own activities, the vision of a church or even of the temple will die, or much like this church, it'll just sit stagnant year after year after year after year. For 20 years, this thing just sat there as a half-done renovation. 20 years of inactivity, 20 years of no place to worship, 20 years of people not coming together, 20 years of no hearing the word preached together as a congregation. What's more interesting as I read through this is it doesn't even seem to bother them. Is God asking us to consider how we use our resources? Yes, absolutely. And as we consider that, I believe you will find a direct correlation to your own spiritual condition. Let's keep reading and see what happens. Verse 7. Thus the Lord of hosts, again, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and on the ground that brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. And God says this, okay, I want you to build my temple. I want you to invest your resources in this. I want you to consider this. I want you to build the church so I can be glorified, so I can take pleasure in what I see. And so the question for me as I was reading and study is, does God take pleasure in what he sees here? Like, I can't answer that question. I'm not God. Is God glorified what we do here at Slave Lake Alliance? So my other question to myself is, well, what happens if he doesn't? What happens if God is not glorified? What happens if we spend all of the time and energy on ourselves and not consider God as number one? What happens when we don't consider God with our time and our money and our energy? Well, what happened to these people? He took it away. He blew it away. He withheld things from them. There was a drought. God gives them a drought to remind them of who it all comes from, to remind them who is to be first priority. And so let's just think about this for a minute here. Has there been a drought in our province? Has there been a drought in this community? I mean, we've just gone through probably the worst financial period that our community has known for many, many years, in a very long time. And for us, many of us, it feels like a drought, whether it's time or money or energy. And so let's consider this. Has these last few years changed our priorities? Has it made us refocus? Has the last few years make us rethink how we use our money or our time and our energy? Has it made us reconsider what is first priority? Or even after all this, I am still first priority. My home is still the first priority, my vehicle, my holiday, my kids, my activities. You see, we need to consider these things. Because here is what I'm afraid will happen. Oil went up to $61 this week. Is there relief coming? I don't know. But my fear is this, is that, let's just say it does go back to 100. How much of this province will just return to the way that it always was? And we don't learn a thing. And I think it's happened to the children of Israel. They've been in exile. They were slaves in a foreign land. They get freed, they get brought back home, and they just carry on the way they always were, still ignoring what God wanted. They went right back to their old habits and their old ways. Did they consider the words of the Lord? Well, let's see how they responded in verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the Lord. Here is something very interesting I noticed in verse 12 as I was reading and studying. You'll notice there's a bunch of names in there. And the question is, who were they? They were the leaders. The leaders went first. The leaders went first. The leaders of the temple, the leaders of the church are to lead first. To me, people, the part of great leadership is going first and then encouraging others to follow. That's what great leadership is. These leaders took responsibility for what was going on and committed to make a change to the glory of God. They obeyed the voice of the Lord and the voice of the prophet. See, people, there's always two voices preaching. There's always the preacher, and then there is the Lord. So it's kind of that double punch. You're hearing my voice speaking, but this is also God's word to you speaking. You're getting two voices in every message. And so the result is that the leaders came together and stood up and said, we can't stay this way. We need to follow what God is calling us to do. And let's keep going, verse 13 to 15, and see how it ends. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of the hosts, their God. On the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. People, when the voice of God and the voice of the preacher goes forth, that should stir up the Holy Spirit in people. The Spirit of God is what stirs up people, not me. It's the Spirit of God that stirred up the people here, and they responded with action. Multiple times through the text, consider this, consider this. What is really interesting, if you read verse 15, right, 24th day of the month, blah, blah, blah. If you were to read verse 1, second year of Darius, sixth month, verse blah, blah, blah. So the first verse and the 15th verse give us actual date and time. And here is what I want you to consider when you look at that. There was a total of about 30 days in there. They didn't need years to change. They changed in a month. The word of God stirred up inside of them, and change began to occur. And I think that's so important that we see that. And for us to maybe even consider, why am I maybe lukewarm in my faith? You see, we're always waiting for something great. It's going to take me a long time to grow. It's going to take me a long time to change. It doesn't have to. It's responding to God's word. I think one of the reasons we struggle maybe in our faith is because of our priorities. If they're solely set on ourselves and our family, which are not bad things, because they are gifts from God, right? But I think many of us need to seriously rethink our priorities. What do we do with my money? What do I do with my time? What do I do with whatever energy that I have left? You see, people, I want God's Holy Spirit to stir up something in this congregation. A new and fresh vision for maybe where God is leading us into the future. As we move into the year 2020. And this is why it's not a New Year's resolution. This is not just something we do now and then let it fade. This is something we need to start asking God, where are you leading us? Where do you want us to go? But maybe some of us do need to consider these things as we go into the year 2020. Maybe to take those action steps of establishing what God's priorities are. And then maybe taking courses of action, stepping forward in that. Will we obey God's command to develop and build his church, the temple, or will we obey his command to create a place where people can learn and people can grow and people can worship and people can be taught, where people can be discipled, where people can be encouraged in their faith? Or will we do like the Israelites and stand by and just let the church carry on as it's always been? Maybe for a whole generation, 20 years. I mean, can you imagine we're still stuck at Y2K 20 years ago? It happens in churches all the time. We get stuck in a time period. We get stuck in a way that we do things and we have a hard time changing. And we always need to be growing and learning and advancing. That's not changing the message in any form or fashion. But it's maybe sometimes changing how we do things or the way we say things. In a forever changing culture and world, and especially with all of the information that we have. And so as you consider these things moving into the new year, I want you to consider whether any of these things have something to do with where you're at with Christ today. I want you to consider taking some steps forward in action, to look at your money, your schedule, your priorities, and maybe consider what needs to be changed. Looking at this church, what needs to be changed? What areas do we need to grow? What areas do we need to stretch ourselves? And for all of us together to say, I'm willing to consider that. Because that's hard to do. I don't like change any more than you do. I know there's this idea that pastors just love to change things for the sake of change. I hate change. I really do. I like things the way they are at times. But we need to keep moving forward as a congregation to see where God is leading us as this Holy Spirit leads and guides through the leadership of this church, but also through all of us. And that together we would obey the voice of the Lord our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning, as we move into a new year, we got lots